Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in the studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gave. And, gentlemen, we said this last week about the biggest homestand the Tigers have. It's back again this week.
They
got the huge games starting with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
You know, the Tigers ran into the juggernaut that is the New York Yankees. And, you know, even if the Tigers manage to do what we're hoping they do and maybe scramble into the playoffs, they would be the team that would play the Yankees, and that would be horrific.
Never mind.
But, you know, they took care of business with the Pirates. The Blue Jays are a step up in class, so it'll be very interesting to see how the Tigers fare against everybody other than the Yankees.
Yeah, JC, you know, we talked about that last homestand and what they needed to do, especially against Cleveland and Minnesota, and they did. Yeah, they ran into that buzzsaw in New York. But they're 9-4. They've won 9 of their last 14 games.
Right.
They're coming. This is going to be a good test, a pretty good Blue Jays team coming to Comerica Park tonight.
Yeah, you take away that Yankee sweep, and the Tigers are playing really good baseball.
Well, they lost extra innings in one of those games, and they only lost 3-0 in the other. So, I mean, yeah, they got slammed pretty hard on Friday.
Yeah.
Rodriguez is on the bump today after a lot of people saying that they thought he tipped his pitches.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, look, at the Tigers are certainly not in the Yankees' class. Maybe the Dodgers are. There's very few teams
That's
in baseball
right.
that are hitting and pitching like the Yankees are right now. And they haven't really had much of the injury bug on top of everything else.
Right.
So
could
this be the year the Yankees win the World Series again? You know, I wouldn't bet against it. But you know, I don't think that series was as bad as you just look at it from a, you know, the Tigers got smashed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the worst thing in the world for that team. They were feeling pretty good about themselves, you know, after taking 4 or 5 from Minnesota, the division leader. And then they got slapped around a little bit in New York. And kind of a rude awakening. Let's not get carried away, boys. You know, we still have to work really hard to win baseball games. They got back to that in Pittsburgh. And you know, I've been
optimistic. Fado and Scooble.
Oh, man, oh, man.
Fado and Scooble and Pray for Rain.
Yes, you're right about that. I mean, and Bo Brisky is not pitching bad.
No.
You know, we're seeing some really great pitchers.
But Mize is done for the season.
Yeah.
You read the tea leaves.
You do.
I think so.
And is he going towards Tommy John? You know, they shut him down completely again, and it's very troublesome for sure.
Well, it's been two different things, though. It was his shoulder, and then it's his elbow. So, I you know, Tommy John, I don't know if that's in the cards or not, Rich. They have time to figure it out because they got a lot of pitchers.
Yeah.
And you know, the farm system continues to churn some of these guys out. So, you know, Manning probably will be back in July. And so will our other Rodriguez.
Other E. Rodriguez.
Yeah.
We
could have the Castros and the Rodriguez.
Got to look at Chris Vetter and the job that he's doing with those pitchers.
Exactly.
I know that some of the prominent kids have had arm problems, but some of the Alex Lang, these young pitchers that we're seeing in the bullpen now, the pitches that they're developing are frightening. I mean, some of the breaking, the movement of the baseball that it is almost sudden with a couple of these pitchers is an intriguing story to watch.
To have 6 different starters on the injured list at one time, at one point this season, and to still have the 7th-rated pitching staff in ERA in all of baseball, it's a basic miracle.
Well, look, I'm not surprised about Fado, and I don't think anybody is. The Tigers took him where they took him for a reason. He was dominant in college.
He sure was.
Dragged Florida to a World Series championship. So, and he's been as advertised.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay?
And
so,
I like his attitude,
you know,
too.
It's kind of like that conversation that happened when Brisky first pitched. And I told you, Mize. So Mize's asking, like, what was your draft number? 34th round. He said, holy bleep. Because when you are drafted in the first three rounds of the major league in baseball, you've got talent.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and you're given opportunity.
That's right.
And those guys drafted in the 30s rounds have to fight for every opportunity they get.
Yeah, I was just reading Lynn Henning's assessment of the draft. The Tigers are drafting in 12th, which is like the first time they haven't been in the top 10 in years. And so he was prophesizing on who the Tigers might take. And one of the guys is a kid out of Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That team is the number one team in the country.
Yeah, Orchard Lake St. Mary's has got a pretty interesting sports program going on.
Dan Petrie's kid is the head coach.
That's right. And who is a Brother Rice grad. And he's coaching.
Time to drink.
No, it's not that. It's because Bob Riker has been coaching Brother Rice's team, and he's got like three or four state championships. Dan Petrie was his pitching coach when his two sons were there. So,
yeah.
When Riker goes, Petrie will probably head over to Brother Rice. It doesn't matter. I just thought it was interesting. It's been a long time since a high school pitcher from the state of Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember the last one who was drafted in the first three rounds as a pitcher from the state of Michigan?
Nope.
Drew Henson?
Okay. That's a good trivia.
He was a third baseman, but he was
around 2000. Or so.
He was an All-American.
Yes, he was.
Pitcher.
Oh, yes, he was. Yes,
yeah.
He was.
And for a long time, he was the leading home run hitter in high school baseball.
Yes, I remember
there
that.
There was another kid that year who was Brother Rice, Tommy Marks, who was also drafted in the first round that year. He went to Seattle, never panned out, but he was like the 16th or 17th pick. In the first round by the Seattle Mariners. So you don't see Michigan kids, drafted in the first round very often.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Our weather doesn't permit us to play much baseball up here.
They're all California, Florida.
Absolutely.
Texas.
Those Southern kids, Arizona, where they play all year round.
That's why I think Derek Jeter is a miracle, coming from out of Kalamazoo and having the career that he did in New York. Really unprecedented.
Yeah, and his grandma was a big Yankees fan, too, so that was kind of that.
Kirk Gibson had a good career,
absolutely.
Playing baseball is a kind of a second love. Football was his game. And
the funny thing about Gibson is the fact that, I'm going to play baseball as opposed to football because I'm never going to get hurt, and he was hurt all the time. Back to the Tigers, Cabrera continues to hit.
He's hitting.
Big time hit the other day.
In the eighth inning, that single up the middle. Did what he had to do to put the ball.
Classic Cabrera.
Yeah.
Just like you said, they can't shift him. They just can't because he can hit the ball to all fields. He's the classic hitter. You can't put the shift on.
I'll tell you what, guys. I've been optimistic about this team all year, and I remain so. I still think they're going to be okay. I still like 82 wins for the season. But I when I'm watching the game, I have to close my eyes and leave the room when Javi Baez comes at the bat.
Oh, I know.
My God. He's the worst hitter in baseball. The worst. He strikes himself out. The pitches that he swings at. Wildly. He took the team out of two rallies in the first game against Pittsburgh. A tight game. For early innings, he struck out.
Two RBIs in the game.
Yeah.
No. I agree with you. He makes Vladimir Guerrero look like Al
Kaline. I'll take Jose Iglesias right now, still over Javi Baez. Yeah. Iglesias hitting .313, by the way, and he feels the position as good as anybody.
Well, Baez doesn't suck in the defense.
No, he doesn't.
He kills you.
I believe that the Tiger coaching staff will break him out of that. He's going to keep looking at film. And the same thing happened at the Mets last year. His first 2 months with the Mets, his strikeout rate was the highest in baseball. And in August and September, he brought it back down to reasonable numbers and had a great great August and September for the Mets. So, I thought, in retrospect, They probably should have signed Correa. It didn't look like you could get him for $280 million
right,
or whatever
Trevor
the
Story.
Mets did. I don't know if they ever made an offer to him.
Yeah.
I think, you know, remember that famous dinner that Hinch had?
Yes.
You know, Correa probably said, well, I need $500 million, and then Hinch brought that back, and they're like, okay, well. And so they made the smart move by getting Baez for what looked like pretty good money. And then the Twins got lucky because the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers weren't going to pay that freight.
Right. And he was a late signing. They didn't sign him until after the lockout. I mean, it was just like...
When you heard that news, you're like, what?
Well, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure him said, what?
Going from Houston,
what happened to $500 million, you son of a...
Houston to Minnesota, where they play outdoors.
And the Twins ain't playing so bad. You know what? Well, they beat the Yankees once, so give them credit for that.
Right.
What a game last night.
Very good game. That Buxton character in center field, he's already hit like 15 home runs. Correa has, I think, 4 right now. But still, I mean, they've got a very good team. And, going to be interesting. The White Sox aren't playing very well.
No.
I mean, they're below 500.
They're three or four games below 500.
I don't know if they're going to have the guts to fire La Russa. I would after what he did yesterday.
2 strikes on the batter, and they intentionally walk him.
Yeah.
And the next guy puts it in the seats.
No.
And he dropped a lot of F-bombs towards that White Sox dugout to La Russa on the way through there, too. Oh, it was a classic.
The Twins have got to cool down. You know, I don't know. The Twins are certainly beatable.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
You know, the White Sox are still dealing with injuries. You know, there's a lot of baseball left to go. And I believe I'm in the same boat as you, Keith. I think the Tigers are going to be enjoyable the rest of this year.
They are. Yeah. I agree. And Chicago's still the team that worries me. If the Tigers can stay three and a half games from Chicago till September, they're going to be just fine. Yeah. They're giving us really good baseball. I got no issues except for the shortstop.
Well, when we return here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs, and is Draymond Green hit the wall? I believe he has. That's just my own personal opinion, but the NBA Finals are here. It's the biggest thing on television, and it's the biggest thing on FanDuel. The FanDuel's giving new customers $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Bet the money line, point spreads, player props, and so much more. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payday with the same game parlay. Talk about a finals bet. You can pick the game 4 winner, the player to hit the most 3-pointers, or build a same game parlay. Just sign up with promo code WGRY.
If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot, because the only thing sweeter than watching the finals is cashing in on all the action. Join today with promo code WGRY and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose.
Make every game feel like a Game 7 with FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. 21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Good job, Rich. It's the first time you didn't stumble on that this year. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And guys, the Warriors are making me a lot of money on FanDuel. They really are, because I've been betting the third quarter bet.
Yeah, that's a rock solid bet.
That being
almost like the fourth quarter for the Celtics.
Yeah, you know, I got to start taking a look at that, Rich. It's almost as good a bet as the Tigers under.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I'm building a new home.
I did want to ask you about that. We talk about the third quarter with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
It has been almost all season long, and that's a good bet. I see that.
Yeah, you can bet that.
But you know, okay, that's great. But what about the fourth quarter when it comes winning time?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Warriors have done this strategy for years. Blow teams out so they don't have to play four quarters of basketball, and they rest the team and everything else, especially with your core players are in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond is 32. Steph is 34. Klay Thompson is 33. So when you're up by 30, then you can rest the guys and everything else. But that is not working against the Celtics. The Celtics are younger. The Celtics are more athletic. The Celtics are deeper.
Yep.
And like I said in the last segment, I think Draymond's hit the wall. Rich, we were talking about it off air. Jaylen Brown made Draymond Green look bad.
That was a mismatch for sure. Yeah, no doubt. And JC, I was going to mention that same point. They're so used to overwhelming people in that third quarter that teams basically they snatch their soul and they're out. They're done. So that's how that third. But again, Boston is a very resilient team. They're able to come back. They know what's coming in the third quarter. And they're hanging close enough to where they can come back.
That's exactly right. Their strategy is let's hang with them in the third quarter. Give them the third quarter. Let's hang with them. We'll put the hammer down in the fourth quarter and put the game away.
Yeah, it's the old Muhammad Ali strategy.
Rope-a-dope. That's right.
Yeah. Let them burn themselves
out. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. So the other thing that was a little weird in Game 3 is why didn't Jordan Poole play? I mean, you know, he is in a very important portion of what's going on with it. With the Warriors, and what did he play, like 12 minutes? You know, I don't know. This is a weird series.
It's his score. They've needed his scoring all year long. He's been
he was the second leading scorer on the team.
And then all of a sudden now, I don't quite get it.
I don't think he's injured. He doesn't look injured when he's on the floor. I don't know if maybe he's giving off a vibe that he's a little intimidated by playing in the finals for the first time. I don't know. Steve Kerr's a hell of a lot smarter than me, but it's not paying off. But going back to Draymond, Green is such an important. I mean, you saw the impact he made in Game 2,
right?
And in the Celtics, you know, addressed it. You know, like, well, you know, that's the way Green plays, and you know, we're going to have to out physical him and everything else. And they did.
They did. I tell you, that Williams kid for Boston, he's a difference maker. That that Boston defense can play close up front perimeter defense when you have a guy back there being a rim protector like Williams. I mean, he's so athletic. And he's dealing with that knee that sometimes is bothersome. But, man, it wasn't bothering him the other night.
Excuse you?
Sorry.
Was it the Chili Relleno for dinner last night there? the more troublesome thing, the most troublesome thing is the rebounding.
Oh,
the Warriors have been the better rebounding team in every series they played. They got absolutely murdered on the boards. 36 extra possessions by the Celtics, offensive rebounds as opposed to 11 by the Warriors. That spells doom, ladies and gentlemen.
A couple of times there, I just saw the Williams going right over top of Draymond without following him. It just getting the ball, picking it from him because Draymond had nothing left, no gas left in the tank.
Well, plus, you know, you're right, and he wasn't positioning himself to box out.
That's his game. Is that he's not a leaper. He's a below the rim rebounder, and so he has to box out. If he isn't using that behind and pushing people out of the lane, he's in trouble.
Well, Rich, you know, that's one of the reasons why I never coached high school basketball up here is because when I talk to kids or I talk to coaches in high school, and I go, you got to put a body on the guy.
You do.
And they look at me like I said it in Spanish.
Right.
Donde este asshole?
Right.
Where is your body, man?
Can't I just jump and get it? No.
You know, and
put your body on. Yeah, move them out of there.
Well, you know, in putting your tushy in some guy's stomach is kind of like hitting guys in the gut, you know?
Yeah.
it wears them down.
Right.
It makes their legs more tired and everything else.
Body blows.
Yeah. So we'll see what Draymond's got tonight. You know, there's a lot of things that point badly to the Warriors. So, we'll, you know, on top of the fact that you can't tell me it was an accident that Al Horford rolled up on Steph Curry's leg, just like Marcus Smart did it in February.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm not saying it's dirty because nobody was dirtier than me. Nobody. I would have
You know, I agree with all you're saying, and things look good for Boston right now, but bet against the Golden State Warriors at your own risk. There's a whole bunch of players on that team who know how to win this time of year. I think Draymond Green will come bouncing back. I expect them to tie this series and take it back to Golden State, tied 2-2.
Well, I don't know if it's going to – Wiggins has got to play better. Poole has got to play better. The guys that were that have really been supporting this team – need to play better.
And will Clay give you another game like he had the other night? You know, he's been inconsistent. He's, you know, still recovering from those two major injuries, and that's, you know, it's hard to tell what you're going to get from him.
It's all going to boil down to two things. You know, if the Warriors can shoot the ball for 45% or better from the three and not give up as many rebounds. You know, the more the basketball goes in the hoop, the less rebounds people get. You know, I've said this a bunch of times. You know, sometimes it's just as simple as how many times your shots go in, but it wasn't in Game 3. It was how many the Celtics lose when they turn the ball over more than 15 times.
Yes.
They only turn the ball over 11 times, and they out-rebounded the Warriors badly. So that is a recipe for success or disaster for the Warriors. That recipe is going to have to be changed by Steve Kerr.
Right. And when you know, Boston may not have shot for a great percentage, but when you're getting those second and third chances per possession, that's what kills an opposing team.
So, JC, give us your FanDuel opinion on tonight's game. That the Boston is -4. That's down from -4.5 from just yesterday.
I like the Warriors getting 4 points for sure.
And the total is 214, has dropped from 215 yesterday.
Well, it was 213 when I gave it out as a bet. I liked the under.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up 216, but as soon as the scoring was huge in the first quarter, I bet it in game and won on it because it bumped up to 218.
Yep.
And so I bet the under at that point in time. Do they have any boosts here? Because I've been making. Oh, that's an interesting. It's a baseball boost tonight. Yankees, Phillies, and Blue Jays all to win at +350. I'd have to see who the
Phillies are on a roll with their new manager.
He is the greatest manager in baseball. Baseball history.
7-0, 8-0, something like that.
Yeah. There's so many bets on FanDuel about this, but yeah. I probably like the over at 214, Keith.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If the Warriors are going to win, it's going to have to go
That's
over
right.
that price.
That's right, yeah.
Although, in game two, Boston only scored 88 points. Mm-hmm. So that was the Draymond Green effect. Yeah. You know, they just a lot of things don't add up. It's a quick turnaround. This is the only game in the series that you only have one day off. And, you know, Draymond is certainly doesn't have everything in the tank, and you got an injured Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they're older.
They are. You know, there's a lot of mileage on those tires.
This is the point in the series where they really need 2 days.
You know, so, but I like the Warriors getting 4 here. And take a look at those, as we mentioned, take a look at the third quarter bet and the fourth quarter. As a matter of fact, since we're talking about it, we have a minute. Let's just see what those, if the FanDuel has it here. Man, there's so many bets here. My eyes are spinning.
All the money that you can make.
And keeping on the NBA basketball theme, remember, the NBA draft is less than 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from yesterday on Thursday. Let's see.
The Warriors are +106. To win the third quarter, so that means that the gamblers, the bookmakers think that the Celtics will remedy this problem because the Celtics are -130 in the third quarter, and
wow,
it's the same thing in the fourth quarter.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the Celtics are minus 124, as you pointed out. They've been hammering the fourth quarter. So that's, you know, these guys aren't that far off.
No, they're not.
Yeah, sure.
They're not. It's scary. I do that a lot. I look at a final score and I'll go back and say, now
it's
scary.
It is.
It's
yeah.
scary.
Since we have a couple minutes, guys, and because the next segment we do want to talk about my favorite subject in the world,
hockey,
golf. here's your little couple of minutes for hockey.
No.
An amazing hockey game last night. Oh. Man, Tampa Bay.
Unbelievable.
Hey, what are the Avalanche thinking, Keith? I mean, it looks like Tampa's going to win the series. I mean, the Rangers could come back and win down in Tampa. I wouldn't count on it, but they could do it. But, I mean, are the Avs going like, yeah, I can't wait to play the Lightning?
No, they're not. No, they're not. And they're almost sorry that they have all this time off after sweeping because they saw what happened at Tampa with 9 days off going into the Rangers series. But, you know, you talk about hitting a wall, Draymond Green hitting a wall. I think the Rangers are, as a team, are hitting the wall. Everybody except that goaltender who's still fabulous. But everybody else seems to be dragging ass a little bit.
How'd you like Lafreniere and Stamkos
going at the end?
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Two big-time players.
A young guy and an old guy.
You don't see it very often.
You don't see Stamkos, especially. He has never had to do a whole lot of that in his career.
The whole team was on the ice slapping their stick. Yeah. Way to go, Cap.
That's right. That's
but
exactly
did you see
right.
him also shaking his hand a little bit coming off the ice?
Well,
he
hasn't punched
him. I know. That's what I'm saying. Too many punches to the helmet, and I was
Listen, when's the last time you hit somebody in the face?
Oh,
it hurts.
Oh, absolutely.
I was trying to explain to Cheryl. Oh. We were watching this. You know, we were watching some show, and she goes, "Well, that looked pretty easy." I go, "You can't unless you hit somebody in the exact perfect spot, right underneath his cheekbone. It hurts like hell when you punch somebody in the face.
It does. It does.
I got no knuckles right here.
You know." This series is a long way from over. I know that's a cliche, but both of these teams have been down 3-2 in series this year and come back to win. The Rangers aren't going to, because of that coach I know very well over there, they're not going to roll over and die. But, that said, the Rangers had Tampa Bay right where they wanted them. Remember, they won the first two games. They were up 2-0 in Game 3, and they stepped off the gas. And they really stepped off the gas in Game 4. It was a no-hitter. They didn't show up for Game 4. And now the series is tied in Tampa with a lot more confidence. They go into New York and win.
They were so lucky. You know, Tampa came out with so much juice last
night. Oh,
I mean, hit the post twice.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You know, they looked like the much younger team. And to a man, Tampa Bay is an older team.
They're an older, but they got playoff experience, and the New York Rangers have none. That's a very young team. You know, listen, it was only about 5 years ago that their management sent out a letter to their fans and season ticket holders. We're rebuilding. It's good. We're going to go through some lean times. This is after Detroit started its rebuild,
and they were able to get Lafreniere with the number one overall pick just a few years ago.
Because they got lottery luck.
Yeah. They got lottery luck.
Yeah. Should have been a Red Wing.
Oh,
and if it winds up to be Tampa Bay and Colorado, which I said at the outset, I picked those two teams to be in the finals, Colorado's going to be a tough out. They have 12 first-round draft picks on their team, 6 of them in the top 4 of the draft. Talk about rebuilding through the draft. That's how you do it. And again, it wasn't that long ago, 5 years or so ago, Colorado was way down at the bottom of the standings with Detroit. And now they're going to be in the Stanley Cup Finals.
What's the difference? Who's the big free agent signing that the Rangers had 2 years ago from Columbus?
Oh, Jacob Trouba? No, not Trouba. No, Panarin. Panarin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Panarin has been absent.
Oh yes,
and this is the difference in when you sign a free agent. We love Panarin, an extremely talented guy, but never has done anything in the playoffs.
No, especially 5-on-5. You know, he's absent.
Yeah.
You know, he lives to play in the power play, and you know what? Guys get tired of that. You know, where's your 5-on-5 play? He was better last night, but they really need him to be better.
I mean, he's like the second or third highest paid player in the league.
Yep.
You know, that's you take a chance when you get a show pony, mm-hmm. and Panarin has been just a show pony, not not what you saw with Stamkos.
Right.
You know, the guys that are going to do absolutely everything that it takes to win a hockey. It's Steve Yzerman. You know, these are the legends of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Messier is getting a little better on ESPN, by the way.
Messier is. Chelios is still brutal.
I love Chelios.
Oh.
I just, because he's so handsome.
I see those
he
three guys on
TV.
On at the break, and I go watch
they're
something
filming
else.
Him from the right side, because if you saw the other side, the nose is over there, but to get him...
The plastic surgeon.
He
has
nothing.
On
he
the
adds
other
nothing
side.
To the conversation.
Yeah. Well, he's just getting paid and heading back to Malibu.
That's what he does.
Right.
That's what he does.
When we return here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, we will discuss the biggest free agency grab in history, and it's happening in the world of golf. Can you imagine? Back after these, brought to us by FanDuel. Yeah, welcome back to Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins, and they will be silent here for the next 12. No, guys, if you've been listening to Finding Fairways, a show that we do here Saturdays and Sundays that is strictly about golf, this has been a story that has been storm clouds on the horizon, and the hurricane has hit the shore, just the outer edge of the hurricane, because we are not done with this at all. If you're not following this too much, the Saudi Arabian monarchy put together a golf league. For whatever reason, I'm not sure about why they want to do it. That's the thing that's surprising.
Well, we've introduced a new term in the lexicon of sports. It's called sports washing. Sports washing, trying to clean up your reputation by throwing money at some of the greatest athletes in the world, people like Phil Mickelson, you know, buying these players and creating a new league and trying to make themselves look a little bit better.
Well, if they're going to do that, then they're going to have to take on the charitable arm of the PGA Tour, because did you know that the PGA Tour is a nonprofit?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you know where all that money goes. I mean, they're coming into $3 billion given away to charities, the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And
that's with a B, $3 billion.
$3 billion, you know, the Rocket Mortgage Classic, $3 million given away to Police Athletic League and other charities. It's a big deal. And the Saudis are throwing all this money around.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the tour, what is called the LIV Tour, that Greg Norman is the face, the commissioner of, and they had originally approached Jack Nicklaus to be and he turned down $200 million to be the commissioner. And trust me, Jack Nicklaus needs the money way worse than Greg Norman.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Norman is a very wealthy guy. But this is all about money, and this is going to break the business model of the PGA Tour. It's just going to. Some of it maybe is deserved, because the PGA Tour has never really had much competition.
Right? Sure,
right.
This has always been the premier place to play. Guys that have success on the European Tour, they come over. Mm-hmm. Japan, everything else. That's the way it has been. But the PGA Tour has kept these guys in independent contractors, but made them play a certain amount of rounds, and they don't know their media rights, and it's all kind of, it's like Major League Baseball in the 50s.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And people are talking about, this is the first time golf has actually experienced free agency. Golfers have a choice now, and some of them who kind of need the money are taking it. Dirty money or not, it's money.
Right, because it's guaranteed money. They don't have to necessarily play well in the tournament, right, Jason? I mean, they're going to get paid X number of millions of dollars.
That's the one thing I don't like, okay? Because that's been the greatest thing about the PGA Tour. It costs you got to pay your own money to go out and grab it.
Right.
And you either do it like Tiger and Phil and these guys, or you go back to being a club pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's been the most democratic of all sports. I mean, look at, there's not one story in the PGA that adds up to guys that we've seen, that get sign a big contract in the NBA and never live up to it, or you know, pitchers that are injured all the time. You know, Steven Strasburg is making $350 million and pitches once, you know, 10 games over a 3-year period. That doesn't exist in golf.
Right.
But it's starting to.
Starting to, that's right. That's
yeah.
Right. You know, you talk about democracy is under siege everywhere, including golf now. But the we call it the LIB tournament league. You know what that stands for, right? That's the Roman numeral acronym for 54. It's called the 54 League. The 54 is the number of holes they play in a tournament. So they make more money and play less, work less. They only play 3 rounds instead of 4.
Yeah, and. And you mentioned guys off the air, James Hyatt, who is the first Michigan board player ever to win the U.S. Amateur. But he's played on a number of professional events, and he hasn't done so well. He hasn't made the cut, and you don't get paid if you don't make the cut.
Sure.
Okay? And on top of that, Rich, as the reigning U.S. Amateur champion, he went back to Michigan State, played this year, didn't even play well enough to make it into the finals of the NCAA.
Wow.
Okay, so is he taking $6 million?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because he's headed to the Corn Ferry Tour, where it's a fraction of what you make on the PGA Tour, so it's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction, and he's getting $6 million, and he doesn't even have to – there isn't a cut.
No.
You know, and the other thing I just want to point out, I don't know if you guys know this, and then go ahead. All these dollars, like Dustin Johnson got $125 million, Phil Mickelson, $200 million to play on this tour. That doesn't include the prize money. So
that's right.
DJ can go ahead and win this tournament this weekend, $4 million on top of the $125 million. Is this a no-brainer or what?
The prize money is staggering compared to the PGA.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you certainly can see why guys – when you can get lifetime money like this, and knowing how fickle golf games can be at times.
Let's get to the news, though. Yesterday, what did the PGA do yesterday?
Well, they suspended
38 players.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dustin Johnson, Kevin Na, these guys resigned their PGA Tour. Now, in Dustin Johnson, we have a much larger discussion. If you find this interesting, Finding Fairways, editing this a little bit. Dustin Johnson, Kevin Na, and some of the other guys resigned their positions on the PGA Tour. I don't know what that's going to mean. Phil Mickelson is a lifetime member of the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
He's won enough tournaments, and he's over the age of 45, so I don't know where this leaves Jay Monahan. This is going to end up in court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got the Rory McIlroys and the Justin Thomases, who have made a ton of money on the PGA Tour, saying that this is a bad thing for the sport.
Right.
But then Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed just jumped.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing this week. They're going to play in the event a couple weeks from now.
Right.
And then the PGA kind of got a kick in the nuts by the fact that they were kind of hoping that the USGA – and the RNA would say, well, you know, we're going to support the tour. They
can't.
They can't do it.
Right. So these players can't. The players who have been suspended can't play on the PGA Tour. However, they can play in the majors because the majors are not PGA Tour events.
Exactly. The PGA Tour only has one true huge event, and that's the Tour Championship.
Right.
That's not even the PGA. The PGA of America and the PGA Tour are two different things. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, this story isn't even close to over. And there's just so many other odd things. Like right now, you cannot watch. You got to go watch the LIV Tour on your laptop.
Yeah.
But that is going to change pretty soon. And, you know, Greg Norman, this is all, Norman loves this. You know, Norman got screwed by the PGA Tour wildly. Because it was his idea to have the World Golf Championships, and Tim Fincham...
They stole it. They stole the idea.
They stole it from him.
Yeah.
You know, so Norman has always had this, and you know, like...
Right. I want to really stick it to the PGA.
We talk about the money. It's really staggering. The $25 million per event. $20 million spread out to the individual, 48 players, right? And $5 million for the top three teams. There's team events going on along with individual events.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. I'd like to see this on the PGA Tour, actually.
Well, yeah, they showed a little bit of the highlights on Scott Van Pelt last night, and the score is off to the left-hand side. And it's kind of like when those numbers come up, you're looking at it, and you're like, what does it actually mean? But it'll just be a retraining of the fans and all that.
The team championship will be seated a seated four-day, four-round match play knockout event, and the team's competing for $50 million. This is crazy
yeah,
money.
Yeah, no, and there's also the other blowback, you know, like one of the events on the LIV Tour is going to be played at Pumpkin Ridge where they've had a couple of PGAs. And so the PGA said, well, we're never having another event
right,
at Pumpkin Ridge.
Right.
Well, where's the first event happening here? Donald
Trump. He's got two of the events here.
Who's in a lawsuit with the PGA when the PGA took the actual
right.
PGA. The reason why it was played in Southern Hills this year was originally supposed to be played in Bedminster in New Jersey, which is Donald Trump course.
Yep.
And when the Capitol seizure happened and everything else, the PGA
took
it withdrew it from him.
Yeah.
And that's in court now. So, you know, Jay Monahan has got his work cut out for him.
Yeah. You know, we talked about this before we started the show today. I think this is the biggest story in sports right now, and it's going to be a developing
yeah.
story for quite some time until it winds up in court and the stuff gets sorted out. In the meantime, they keep throwing money at players to defect.
Yeah.
I think, and a lot of people are saying this, is this biggest story like this since Bobby Hull signed that big contract to leave the Chicago Blackhawks and go to Winnipeg when they started the World Hockey Association.
Or the Curt Flood.
Or Kurt Flood.
That's
the
free agent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Changed
yeah.
everything about baseball.
That's yeah. correct.
That's what I was referencing earlier
yeah.
About, you know, how the monopoly
mm-hmm.
that baseball owners had on baseball players
right.
back in
yeah.
the day. That's what it. I mean, that's what the White Sox, the Black Sox scandal was all about.
That's exactly
that,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That, you know, this baseball season, you can swing for the fences on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in free bets, guaranteed, when you place your first, God, I wish I was new to FanDuel, your first $5 bet. Just sign up with the promo code WGRY to get into the action. FanDuel lets you bet the money line, the home run props, strikeout totals, and so much more. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payday in the same game parlay. So you can bet the amount of hits that Miggy will get, the amount of strikeouts that Alex Beto will have,
right.
put that all in the
right.
same game.
Yep. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Just join with promo code WGRY.
And turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose, exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and over and present in Michigan, first online real money wager only. $10 deposit is required, bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these on Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel.
Warmer and warmer weather is just around the corner. It's never too early to call JP Heating of Northern Michigan for a new energy-efficient Amana air conditioner. Before you know it, you won't feel the cold outside, but you'll want to feel it inside. JP Heating proudly features Amana products and specializes in air conditioning units and central air solutions for homes and businesses. Check out JP Heating of Northern Michigan today at jpheating.com or stop by their office on Dickerson Road in Gaylord. Shopping can be fun, unless you're shopping for insurance. Trying to compare policies can be confusing. Cornell Agency wants to be your personal insurance shopper. Auto, home, life, and recreational vehicles, health, Medicare, and even business. They handle it all. Cornell works with multiple insurance companies, so you know their rates will always be competitive. Friendly, knowledgeable, and there when you need them. Give Cornell Agency a call at 989-348-6761. That's 989-348-6761.
Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And Rich.
Yeah.
The Hard Knocks folks were actually in town getting some filming during.
Gotta love it.
What did Campbell say? We are in our pajamas.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they're like, well, what do you read on the team? He goes, we're in our pajamas. How can you tell? it's silly season in football.
It is.
They're all Super Bowl contenders, even in Detroit right now.
But it will be interesting when we have camp for real. What was that, August?
August, yeah. Yep. And then you'll start seeing the episodes soon after that.
They turn them around pretty quick.
They do, absolutely. Yeah. What's amazing is they're able to edit all that stuff within a few days and get, because they have their, right, yeah, they throw a lot of people into that editing room. And they'll play a preseason game. It'll be on the next episode, like on Monday or Tuesday night. I mean, that's crazy.
I know you love Hard Knocks. Like I told you, the only one I really watched was the Raiders with Gruden.
That was a good one.
Who was the wideout?
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, where's he? Is he going to be a Packer?
I don't know.
He took his jersey off and ran off the field.
Yeah, that's the last time we saw him.
That guy's a nut.
He doesn't come up to Mount Pleasant at his alma mater much, hanging out there.
No, he's not. But, all the proper things were said. It really is going to boil down to Tim Boyle. No. Jared Goff.
I mean,
can the Lions protect him? Can the Lions run the football? And can they establish a deep game? Jameson Williams, it doesn't look like he's going to be able to play till October is what they're kind of saucing him at. But Trinity Benson, who the Lions traded for.
Yeah,
they were raving about him at camp. Yeah. And the offense – it looks to be the more reliable of the two squads that we have, Keith, right? We'll see, how much of Hutchinson the health of the DBs can make a defense a little better for the Lions, because that's ultimately where it's going to land on, right?
They're raving about Hutchinson already. What Campbell was saying yesterday in his news conference, what he like about him is that he doesn't talk. He listens, and he takes coaching, and he goes to work, and he's got that high motor anyways. And he said you can see him improving before your very eyes.
Right.
The Lions got a good one with that guy.
Oh, that's a coach's dream. A guy that sits there and listens to coaching, doesn't mind being coached hard either. If he played for Harbaugh, you're going to get coached hard. And, like you said, keeps his mouth shut and just puts everything that they're telling him into play on the field. And,
remember, their D coordinator last year was a professional football defensive coordinator.
Sure.
So that helps a little bit. That was the first attraction of Harbaugh is that, this guy ran successful football teams and then coached successful football teams in the NFL, so you have a more likely shot to be successful in the NFL. We'll see if that turns out. His dad was a professional football player.
Right.
So there's a lot of things to like about him. The thing that I heard, Rich, is that he's looked way bigger in person. That's what Campbell said. When you saw him on tape and everything else, he seems to be a little bit slighter of a D lineman. That's not the case. Yeah. I think it's because he moves so damn fast.
Right. You expect him to be smaller. Yeah.
And remember, he's 6'7". I mean, that's, for a D, that's even tall for a D end. I mean, he's got those long striated muscles. He's not like super bulky per se, but you can see.
But he doesn't have super long arms, and that's what they liked about Kayvon Thibodeau, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's all going to, how is he going to do against offensive lines in the NFL? The Packers don't have the greatest one. The Vikings don't have the greatest one.
Right.
The Chicago Bears offensive line stinks. We'll see what's going to happen. I don't want to go crazy and say, we looked at the schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Nine
favorable.
9-8 looks like it's a distinct possibility. Yeah. That is up to 17, right? 9 and 8.
It is 7.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I don't take what goes on this summer camp very seriously. I mean, you know, they're basically getting to know one another a little bit. But I do find myself this time of year every year, even more so. No. I'm buying in. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. They suck me right in, man.
Oh, I know. But again, getting back to Hutchinson, it can only help going against Taylor Decker every day, Penei Sewell in practice, guys that, you know, that have shown they can play in the NFL. That just, you know, their old adage of iron sharpens iron. And, man, I just think, you know, I think the future is definitely with this Dan Campbell regime and everybody, including the front office. Things are looking better now than they have in a long time as Lions fans.
Okay, so what's the other story in professional football?
Jeez, what do we have?
You mean Deshaun Watson?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How did this guy not get indicted?
Yeah.
By the grand
jury? He avoided two of them.
Two of them. I mean, the stories that these women are telling are borderline horrific.
It's just awful.
You know, awful. I guess it boils down to the fact that, you know, Deshaun Watson just figured, you know, this is supposed to be about sex. And it's not. I mean, I've had plenty of professional massages.
Right.
And it's about feeling, you know, getting your body in the right place.
Right.
And the Browns' due diligence to sign this is insanity.
To a fully guaranteed contract, and it's just, it blew everybody away.
I mean... Didn't they talk to the Texans? I mean, the Texans are going to get their asses sued off.
They are.
They were just named
because they ate
it
and abetted.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is ridiculous. And the Browns are still going like, okay, don't bring a Baker back, a Baker Mayfield back. He's going to walk. I would be stunned beyond words if Deshaun Watson suits up for the Browns this year.
Well, I agree with you, but the NFL is a really strange league when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Well, and I think, well, and
no, they're not. They are way behind the curve. Whatever happened to Ray Rice?
I'm just saying, Ray Rice never
played another football game.
Yeah. He's going to be gone at a minimum 8 games, and who knows if there's anything else with that.
I don't know. Rusty Harden is one of the great litigators in the history of mankind,
right.
And he will be proven to be worth every penny, depending on what happens here. But, man, there's such a bad look on so many levels, guys. Like, you know, the New York Times come up with this whole story.
Ooh.
Where's the NFL?
Yeah.
You know, it's bizarre.
Yeah. It is bizarre.
Yeah, Roger Goodell, I think he came out and said that their investigation is nearing the end. Well, this has been going on for a year plus.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy.
It's sad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Deshaun Watson's there like, I was raised by my mother and I'm respectful for, I mean, okay. But what, a whore is a whore? I don't know.
You got a lot of people making accusations of the same stuff. You know, I mean,
Yeah, the biggest question is what the hell did the grand jury hear, and how could they possibly turned it down twice?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, we got a couple minutes. Keith, I know you always have your big notes. What's on your agenda other than fishing?
Well, obviously, we got the Tigers tonight with Elvin Rodriguez, 0-1.
Not Edwin, Elvin.
Yeah. Elvin, 10.13 ERA against Jose Barrios, who's 4-2, 4-2, 5.24 ERA. I like the over of 9 runs tonight.
Well, Rodriguez, I mean, he's only pitched 2 games.
Right.
One of them, he gave up 10 home runs or whatever.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be the New York Yankees. It should be the New York Bombardiers.
Yeah.
Those guys whacking around. But, the over is probably right. The over is 8 tonight.
It's 8. I see 9 on mine. But,
is it? Okay.
Yeah. I still like the over even at 9. And, of course, Big game at Boston tonight with Golden State. Boston is minus four, 214 is the over-under with the Golden State Warriors. The NHL gets back in action
on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Saturday, I think it is, actually.
Saturday.
It is Saturday.
Rangers at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's up 3-2.
Okay. Yeah. Real quick, high school softball, girls softball. Gaylord continues to roll. I found what seems to be a correct record. Now they're 28-2. They are hosting regionals tomorrow at Gaylord Softball Field behind the high school there. They take on, they're going to play around 1 o'clock. And because there's a game before that, they're going to take on a very tough Big Rapids team who is 33-5.
Wow.
So that's good.
Okay.
And hope the winner will take on the winner of Escanaba and Grant. Escanaba is 27-5. So I expect those two to match up around 3 p.m. for the regional championship in Gaylord. And also, real quick, Asabo River Canoe Marathon, 22 teams have signed up so far.
Boy, that's low.
Very low to start right now. I'm shocked thus far.
Especially since with the Canadian border open.
I know. Right now, no Canadians have signed up officially, but I expect a whole bunch
of
them.
Thank you for that update.
And Jordan Wakely, Matt Meersman, last year's record-setting team, they have signed up.
You're right, Keith. The over and under is 9. The Tigers are massive
underdogs.
Massive underdogs, plus 176. Yeah. We'll be talking about that on Game On. FanDuel sponsors your Game On program that happens every day around 3:30 on Q100. And I'm going to kind of like this plus 176. The Yankees are plus minus 250 against at home against the Cubs. Cubs stink. I'm starting to figure out baseball betting, and you know, Pete Rose wasn't such a bad guy.
Pete to the Hall of Fame.
You can bet on that. Well, thanks for joining us here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel. We'll see you next week. Also, just in case you'd like to know, I never mentioned this, this show is podcast on a program called Up North Sports, on our website called Up North Sports Radio. We're going to start doing different things here, giveaway tickets and make the show a little bit more accessible. You can also hear the podcast for Finding Fairways there. And when we get back to doing our high school sports show, Rich, which is coming up, that is there as well. So if you want to hear this again or you want to tell some people about this program, they can go to Up North Sports Radio and listen to the podcast. Tiger Baseball tonight, first pitch, 7:10 here on Up North Sports Radio. And as we mentioned, Finding Fairways runs at 9 a.m. both on Saturday and Sunday here on Up North Sports Radio and a number of radio stations across the state. So if you want to hear some golf talk as you're driving to the golf course or listening to it on your headphones when you're cutting the grass, there you go.
Last week you had Mike Tirico on. You got a great get there.
Yeah, it was a great get. Thank you. We'll see you next week.